everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here today to bring you a special bonus episode. We're talking about the new Prime Video series, The Summer I Turned Pretty. And yay, we're really excited. And Rachel's here.
Hi, everyone.
And our friend Natasha's here.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, she's here all the way from Singapore. Yep. So for us, it's Saturday night. For her, it is Sunday morning. So thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. At least it's not 4 a.m. like when we did. So that's good.
Yeah, that was dedication.
Yeah. But I have to say, I set my alarm for 8 and I woke up at 9. I couldn't like do it.
You weren't ready at 8. You
were. I wasn't ready. Yeah.
Well, Natasha, tell the listeners, in case they haven't listened to an episode with you before, a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I think everyone's probably sick of seeing me on this channel by now. But hello, I'm Natasha. I'm from Singapore. I'm a film critic, so I am accredited at Rotten Tomatoes. I'm the film editor over at Cultured Vultures. And I'm also an English lit teacher. Yeah. So that's me.
Yeah.
A lot. Woman of many talents. We love it. We love it. And the series that we're going to be talking about, it is based on a trilogy of books by Jenny Han, who everyone knows did the To All the Boys I Loved Before books, which were turned into Netflix movies. And Natasha is the only one of us who's read the books. So she has, her own background and inside view into the show. So tell us kind of just in general, how, you know, the books compare to this TV series.
I think, okay, so the books are from Belly's perspective, right? So we follow her, you know, when the boys go off, we don't really know what's happening. So everything is very much rooted to her perspective, except I think for the last book where we get Conrad as well. So then, you know, there's a bit of that shift. So I actually like the show more than I like the books, because the show actually gives us insight into all the characters. So in the books, the characters are just in relation to Belly. So what she's feeling, right? What she's going through at the moment, you know, who she's hanging out with. But I think the show allows us to follow everyone. So I like it a little bit more. Yeah, so we get to understand, I think, some of what happens a little bit easier. Or it's, you know, yeah. So yeah, and I mean, she is a 16-year-old girl, so, and I'm reading it as a, I read it this year, by the way.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I watched the trailer, and there was like a Taylor Swift song, so I was like, I have to read the books now, because I've committed myself, it's become a pact. So I read it, so I think as like a 33-year-old woman reading books from like a 16-year-old perspective, sometimes you're just like, what? What is this girl doing, you know? So,
I can imagine.
So I think I might have had a different viewpoint if I had read it like maybe when I was like a teen. But reading it now, it's very addictive, but I wouldn't say it's like my favorite series of books. Yeah.
How do you think it compares to all the boys?
I like To All the Boys better. Yeah.
I have read those books.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, do you like the books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I read two of them. I liked them.
I think it's like, it was a stepping stone for her, because The Summer I Turned Pretty is her first like series of books, right? So I felt like To All the Boys, like, you know, I mean, I think as a writer,
she was more developed. Way, right? She had more experience, and, you know, she was more developed writer, person, all of that.
Yeah. And then the protagonist, To All the Boys, what's her name? I forgot. Lara Jean, right? Yeah. She is more, I think, relatable compared to Belly, because I think Belly does a lot of like, for Lara Jean, I think we can understand why she's like sometimes caught between these two boys, you know. Yeah, but for Belly, I don't know, sometimes she puts herself in this like really strange situations. So getting caught between, I think, two boys is not So I think that's why I like To All the Boys better. And I think the love interests are also better fleshed out. Like the boys have more characterization besides their relationship to their love interests. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just, you know, get right into the first episode. So the description was, it's called Summer House. It's the first real day of summer, the day Belly, her brother, Stephen, and her mother, Laurel, head to Cousins Beach to stay with Susanna Fisher, who's like Belly's second mother, and her boys, Conrad and Jeremiah. Belly's been going to Cousins since before she was born, but something about this summer feels different for Belly. And if it's the first, and if the first night is any indication, she's right. So, when you guys watched this, how did you feel it was kind of as a launching pad, you know, for a series, like a first episode, you know, how it introduced everybody? How did you feel about that, Rachel?
Yeah. So first of all, I felt so jealous because I've been trying to get my family to take a beach vacation for years and they just are not into it and they don't want, I don't know. I have not been able to successfully convince them to do it. And like, seriously, renting a big house on the beach like this is my dream. I think it would be so much fun. But I don't know. I just can't seem to get my family on board. But so I'm very jealous. And I think that this show is more of a kind of escapism fantasy kind of show in the sense of like this kind of perfect world with beautiful people
perfect
and
a beautiful beach
and, yeah, everything. The two moms don't seem to have to work all that much and you know, just all of that, like it's fine because you're not supposed to like take, it's not supposed to be like gritty realism. So I think you kind of have to like, I hate the phrase turn off your brain, and I don't use that, but you have to just kind of accept that it's sort of escapism.
Yeah.
Plus everybody looks like they're 25, 30, maybe 20 on the first.
Oh my gosh, not 30. 25. Okay, 25. I'll give you 25. Okay. Besides Belly, she does look younger, a little bit younger than 25, which I think she is the youngest.
She's, I think 19 is what I'd read. And so she does look the most age appropriate, but it when I watch these kind of things, I always feel like, okay, this is about college students, because also just sort of the things they're worrying about is something that I don't relate to it certainly wasn't something I related to as a teenager, more, a little bit more, I guess, more of sort of a college age kind of thing. So when these, you know, when these actors are older, it kind of fits in a weird way, but I don't know. I mean, it's not like as bad as something like Glee or something where everybody looks so old.
Everyone literally looks like they're fun. Like, literally.
Yeah. But, or Grease, you know, this is famous Stalker Channing was 33 when Chris. That's one thing I didn't really understand, why people were so hard on Dear Evan Hansen for the fact that he was older. I'm like, this is like every teen movie.
No, I think for that one, right, it's because everyone else around him looked younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think if everyone else had looked the same as him,
yeah,
I think it would have been okay. Like Grease, right? Like we suspend our you know, disbelief, right? Because everyone looks like old.
Yeah, because Olivia Newton-John was 29.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's crazy.
It was a different time.
It was a different time, but not because we still do that. But again, I think it's almost part of the escapism too of it all, is, you know, having these sort of, it's something like if you were a teenager, you could kind of, you know, dream that this is the way, you know, things would be, even to the point of, you know, these incredibly attractive guys being all there.
I don't think most people are not that attractive at all. In this entire show, they're all just very pretty. Like, I mean,
I think that this mom needed to have a lot of children if she produces such beautiful sons.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Susanna.
Susanna.
Yes. My God. Yeah. They are beautiful. Yeah, you're right. It's like, God. Yeah.
But I did think, so she starts dating this guy, Cam. She goes on her first date, I think we're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
And I thought that Cam and Jeremiah looked very similar to me. They were both tall, both had brown curly hair. I don't know. I just felt like I kept getting them confused. Like, which one is she? Who's she dating? But then it doesn't really matter that much because he's only in it for like the first part of the series. Yeah. But I was like, I don't know. To me, they looked very similar.
I can see that kind of. Yeah. I mean, the hair, they both have like similar kind of hair.
Yeah. Both have that curly.
Look like the same age, you know.
Yeah.
Real life anyway. Natasha, what do you think about this as like a series opener, like first episode?
I think it was okay. Like, I think it did what it needed to do, right? The house looked great. I love the singing in the car.
Yeah,
the dynamic between the brother and sister. Like, I heard that was relatable because I sing all the time, but badly. And I always told to shut up. So I felt like, you know, that was great. I don't know. I like that the soundtrack is like so many pop songs because I kind of know. I'm so basic, right? It's the music. Yeah. It's a music lover. So I kind of knew all the songs. I don't know. Like, have you guys ever had like, a summer crush? Like, I don't know. Or like just having a crush, I guess. The anticipation of like them seeing you when you're looking good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I never have.
Yeah, anyone who said they never had a crush before, they might not be alive. Like, they might, I don't know. They might
I had crushes, but I never had anything like, I don't know, never a summer crush or that, you know, something similar to that. But most of my, even when I was younger, I was a pretty hard sell, meaning I didn't fall very quickly. I think probably because I had an older brother who I know would tease me relentlessly if, you know, he were to find out about anything like that. So I just usually just kept it to myself. I liked somebody. I don't know. I've never really had a lot of guy friends. My friends have mostly usually been girls and so I don't know. I didn't have a ton of crushes like this. But I was joking off air that I haven't had my summer. I turned pretty yet. So we'll see. Maybe this summer will be the key. I don't know.
Rachel. Oh, you stop that. No.
No. Yeah. Of course.
But yeah, I mean, I would have loved to for a beach vacation. That's what I'm more. The boys, they're fun, but I'm more jealous of the vacation.
She's like, just give me the beach and the beach house. Boy, who cares?
This amazing pool they have. And yeah, like, it's a literally nice pool. Being steps away from the ocean.
Yeah.
It's nice. Really nice. What do you guys think about the like using the same actors for like all the pictures, like when they're growing up, like with the glasses and the side parts and I think Conrad has glasses, Bella has glasses, she has braids like this. Yeah. And then Jeremiah's hair is, I mean, yeah. So it's always just funny to see, you know, what they, you know, kind of
they have fun with the Photoshop.
Look, there. Yeah. The clothes and the stuff they put them in, like as they're growing up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it's a good first episode introduction to cousins and the beach house and the characters and like who each of the characters are to Belly. You know, how she kind of, you know, feels about each of them, Susanna and the boys and, you know, her brother and her mom. So I feel like it does like a good job of kind of introducing everything and everybody.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor of the podcast.
From Jenny Martz, the USA Today bestselling author of award-winning books filled with love, laughter, and always a happily ever after, comes a sweet, funny, and heartfelt Western romance that will have you swooning.
Jenny Martz's Cowboy Ever After is a fish-out-of-water, grumpy, sunshine romance that follows a shy author from the city, her jaded cowboy host, and their journey to trust and love again over a week together on a ranch in Montana.
The perfect romance for your summer reading list, Publishers Weekly calls Cowboy Ever After a sweet tale that will have readers eager to return to this picture-perfect Montana town.
Available now on Amazon and in stores at Barnes & Noble and select bookstores.
For more information about Cowboy Ever After and other titles by Jenny Martz, visit www.jennymartz.com.
That's www.jennymartz.com, or use the affiliate link in the description section below.
So in episode 2, it's called Summer Dress. It's Belly's first day as a debutante, and a day of shopping and tea parties make her wonder if she's made the right choice when she checked yes on Susanna's invitation. But when Cam shows up, things turn around for Belly. Her summer first is just getting started. Meanwhile, Steven's having his own summer romance, and Laurel is intrigued by a fellow author. So I thought it's kind of interesting because it's 2022 and debutante stuff kind of seems like outdated at this point, just like as a general thing. So I think it's kind of interesting that obviously the books, you know, Jenny did, she wrote them a little bit ago. But what do you guys kind of think about this, you know, debutante storyline that they have, you know, going on in the series?
It's weird because it wasn't in the books. So in the books, there's no...
it's not.
Yeah, there's no Deadpool. So they added it for the show. To create, I guess, more a conflict. More
or give them something to do.
Yeah, because she's just going to parties. You know, the boys are like drinking. So I guess, you know, there's not much they can do. So I think that's why they created this debutante thing. Yeah,
I don't know if they would have the debutante ball in the summer. And also, would they include, you know, people that are just there for the summers?
Yeah.
You know, that's probably wouldn't happen. But I guess, I mean, they are such a regular attendee. There's, you know, it's not like they're there for just one summer. They've been there for many, many. So maybe that might make it more likely. But they did try, I think, to make it like a very progressive debutante ball.
Yes.
And did. So I think that that, you know, it was fine. Yeah. And it definitely provided some fun moments between the different boys. You know, as the escorts and the later on, well, that was very, you know, very swoon worthy, I'd say. So I think it was overall a win.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, kind of like you always say, Rachel, about the Hallmark movies and mysteries, you know, when the person's actually like in some investigative job, it makes more sense, you know, for them to be there. In this case, like when they're doing things, like it actually makes sense for them to have things to do and events to be at and, you know, fundraisers to do, you know, all this stuff. It makes it so like it all has a purpose. It's not just random. So I think it works. I think they updated it well, you know, with different things. So
yeah, and it was kind of fun that they also had the whole setup with the drive-in movie theater. I thought that was fun. Because they had like a resurgence during the pandemic, at least here. And I hope we keep them going because I think they're really fun. I actually just saw Top Gun Maverick at the drive-in a couple of weeks ago, and that was really fun. It's a great setup for kind of a romantic scene because obviously you don't have like the same constraints of you know, being around other people and having you know,
it's a lot more like intimate and like you can actually have a conversation and not bother anyone else, and you know, it's like secluded, and so I think it is a good romantic scene kind of thing. Speaking of that, you know, we already have the two brothers, you know, Cam comes into the mix. What do you guys think about Cam? I guess Rachel thinks he looks like Jeremiah, so
yeah. I was confused. I was like, is she
like, you know,
Rachel's like, these are all teens. To me, they all have the same filter.
Well, and people give me grief for, you know, my feelings on a lot of teen stuff. But the problem I have with a lot of teen programming is that I feel like it doesn't feel authentic to me, that you have these like sullen, miserable, grumpy teen characters. And I just don't like, I just don't connect with that. I mean, you could talk to my mom. She'd probably say, like, I probably was one of those, but like, I don't know. I just feel like they're not written with enough like nuance a lot of the times. And they're just sort of these beasts. Whereas I appreciate when I feel like there's, I don't know, a little more kind of nuance to the teen characters. And I think that Conrad is the one that I feel the most kind of gets into that trap, but of being just sort of the sullen teenager. Yeah. But even he kind of comes around. But I prefer teen movies where I feel like, I don't know, I just connect more with the characters, like something like Love, Simon, I think is something more my style. I know it just feels more authentic to me than something like Lady Bird, which I understand is well done, but she's just so much to me that I struggled anyway. But yeah, I mean, I thought that she had good chemistry with Cam. I thought that he was mm-hmm. cute. Yeah. So I was kind of surprised that he, I mean, I guess if we're spoiling ahead, yeah. I was kind of surprised that he just kind of disappears.
Oh yeah. He just like, you know, falls off the earth. Like after the next episode, he's just like, well, where'd he go?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
Is he in the books, Natasha?
Yeah, he is. He's in the books. Okay. Yeah. They meet the same way. So I think it's kind of similar in that sense, but he falls off, I guess, because, you know, he was never, I guess, a contender for her heart.
He's just Cam, you know.
Yeah.
You know, one of these other, you know super swoony people that's been around for 15 years or
Mm-hmm. It's just sad because I think in her head, I think it's always that idea, right? In your head, you want to move on, you know, you don't want to like linger on this person who like treats you like trash or doesn't really like, you know, acknowledge you or your feelings, right? So you're like, I'll move on, you know, but then I guess the heart wants what it wants, right?
With yeah. Conrad, you talking about? Because Cam treated her fine, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's talking about Conrad. Yeah, Cam treated her fine. Okay, okay. So I wanted to ask this. Okay, so my mom would never let me miss like any of her special function, you know, to go like to some drive-in with some boy on a first date. She'd be like, no, you have to be at my book party. I was like, she's not even gonna give her any crap or anything. She's just gonna be like, oh yeah, just go. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You know, I was like, wow.
I feel like at the least everybody would kind of tease her more. And maybe that was just my family is more teasing. But I think it's her first date she ever been on, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family would tease me.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, they were kind of, it was funny when she was, you know, leaving and like, you know, Jeremiah's telling her how she looks hot and her brother's like, stop flirting my sister. He's like, oh, but she looked good though.
Yeah.
Like even he's like noticing the glow up, you know, that's taking place in her summer I turned pretty. Even he's like taking notice of it.
Just, oh my God. And you got the cadence down of his speech. He said it exactly that way.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, like, oh, you look good though, you know, like he's, and I think they have good chemistry.
Yeah,
her and Steve,
I really like Steven,
brother
yeah.
and sister, like, you know, chemistry.
I don't know, my high school experience was kind of different because my parents had a baby when I was a freshman in high school, and so and my mom had to be on full bed rest, and then like just taking care of an infant kind of consumed their lives. And so my parents, as far as like you know, what I was allowed to do and what I wasn't allowed to do. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of that because they were just, it was like baby city. And, and so I mean, they were, I guess in a way kind of lucky that I was pretty hardcore into my church when I was in high school. I mean, I still am a believer. I still go, but I was, you know, big into it in high school. And, we had early morning seminary before church, and I got myself up into seminary pretty much every morning, by myself. That was the kind of sort of teen that I was. My parents kind of had the idea of like, don't create a problem that doesn't exist. And so like, we never really had a curfew. We never had, because we didn't need it, because it wasn't a problem. We, instead of going to the beach, which I would have loved to do, we went boating a lot. That was sort of more the activity. And I still to this day absolutely love boating. I think it's like the perfect activity, because it was hard in my family because you had to find activities that a wide range of ages and athletic abilities and things like that would all find fun. Because I have a sister that's 10 years younger than me, and then my brother who was born when I was in high school, and then I have another sister who was born when I went away to college. So
oh my goodness, wow, that's a big range. It's like, what movie are we going to see? Like, this is hard.
It was hard. And it was really interesting too, because I always thought that my house was like the lamest place, and nobody was ever going to want to come over to my house because you had to be so quiet, because you don't want to wake the baby. And just like my whole life was ruled by babies when I was in high school. And it was interesting, a couple of years ago I met with a couple of my friends. I went back to visit because my parents don't live where I grew up anymore, I went and we had lunch, and it was just interesting because they were all like, we just have such happy memories of being at the Wagner house and how much we loved it. And so, you know, it's kind of your view as a high school student, as a teenager, is so different than, and I think you have just a very different perspective than like the world around you.
Oh yeah. Does, you know? Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
I was going to say that I can't really do any of because the only drive-in we have here is McDonald's. So I guess it would be a quick date. Zoom out. Yeah.
Well, if you ever come to visit, Natasha, I'll take you to the Redwood Drive-In and we'll go.
It's been a long time since I've been to a drive-in, but I'm in LA now. They have lots of, you know, that, or they have, you know, those things. So I really do want to go to one, because it's been like since I was a kid. Like, I remember we saw The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's a long time ago.
Oh wow.
Like, that's the only time I remember is my dad. We took the family out to, you know, drive in there. Yeah. So that was a long time ago. So I'm due for some more drive-ins.
The key at the drive-in, I think, is to see a movie that doesn't have like tons of dialogue, because of the way that the speaker is and everything like that. And sometimes sometimes you'll get like a glare on the screen, and so you won't maybe see everything perfectly. So it's great to have a movie where you like basically know the beats, what's going to be happening, and it's not like a super, you know, dialogue heavy. Like, I saw Jaws, the original Jaws, at drive-in, and that was super fun. That was a great choice. Yeah. but Top Gun Maverick was a good one too. There's not that, you know, not much dialogue,
like action, and stuff happening.
I seen it twice before by the time I saw it at the drive-in, so I basically knew kind of what was going on. And you know, it's not the time to, like, I don't know, Ben Hur or something like that. Like, don't see that at the drive-in.
Or like those movies where they whisper the whole time. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that conversation. What are you gonna see, Ben? Like, what? Yeah.
But I mean, of course, the boys tease her and kind of break up their date And I'm like, yeah, that's real. That's what my brother would have done.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother would have done the same. No, I was like, okay, this is like real. Like,
yeah.
they would really like do something stupid like this and, you know, pull mm-hmm. right next to your car and be making kissing noises and
yeah,
acting like total, you know, idiots. You know? So that definitely seemed,
yeah. Authentic. And I liked her brother. I thought that they had a nice chemistry yeah. together and he was yeah. a fun character in the show.
Mm-hmm. I think he was great. I thought, yeah, they had good chemistry and they had mm-hmm. a good, you know, banter. And so that was,
yeah,
it was fun.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode. And that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
All right. So episode 3 is the big 16th birthday. So it's Belly's 16th birthday and her best friend Taylor arrives in Cousins to help celebrate. Belly's birthday is always her favorite day of the year, but this year she's blindsided by a secret Taylor's been keeping from her. The devs ask Belly who she's bringing to the ball. Laurel and Susanna's secret finally comes to light. So this is the episode.
A lot going on.
There's a lot happening in this episode. And so we finally do hear about, you know, Susanna's secret. And so, I mean, were you surprised by that revelation? Well, I guess Natasha, it's in the book, right? You weren't surprised. You were like, yes, I saw it coming from my way.
Yeah, I was not. I knew. Yeah.
What about you, Rachel?
I was, just because I feel like it's a really mean thing to do. And I feel like it's a very selfish thing for her to do. And I wouldn't have expected that from her character. I mean, I can understand why you know, you sort of don't want it to blow up and be this big thing and you want to kind of enjoy the summer. But in the end, like, it gives your children less time to deal with it and less time to sort of process. And so in the end, I think it's a pretty selfish choice that she's made. I would be really mad.
I would be extremely mad. Yeah. If I was the kids and then I find out, like, it's like, yeah. Cause the first thing is, how long have you known this? Why didn't you tell her? I mean, you're just like, you're just so overwhelmed because of, you know, what you're going to hear, which they don't know yet at this point. We just find out when her and Laurel are talking about it. I mean, I don't know, I guess because in the promo they didn't, like, I don't remember them, like, anyone, like, being upset or anything, so I didn't know, like, anything was going to be wrong.
Yeah, it does feel very like Nicholas Sparksian to me. I mean, a lot of things in this series feel Nicholas Sparksian. Yeah. You've got
for one thing,
you
know, just, like, the location where
they
film it.
Yeah, North Carolina, yeah. And the beach. And
things
like, and you're like, okay, cancer, 1, 2, 3. Ah, here we go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's very true. That is. Okay, so here we go. You know, it's Belly's birthday. She's excited. She's happy. It's her birthday. She's 16. Mm-hmm. Everyone's supposed to get her a gift. And then Conrad starts Conrading. And I'm just like, dude, come on. She's like a child. Like, why are you messing with her emotions this way? How'd you feel about that, Natasha?
I was trying to figure out why he didn't give it to her. I until the end of the series, I kind of don't, because I mean the books is a bit different, like, she finds it in a different way, lah, basically. But I don't know, like, I feel that what happened was is that I think he didn't want to commit to that with her. I think he knew he wasn't ready, and I think giving her that would be this romantic
gesture. Yeah, infinity necklace. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The connotation would kind of be, yeah, yeah. That's true. You know? That could be why. Because yeah. I was just like, I don't really get it. But that, in his mind, that could have been what he was maybe thinking.
Like, why did he buy it in the first place? It seems like a interesting gift to get, like, somebody that at this point is just a friend.
Yeah. I think they've always had something, you know, more mm-hmm. more than friends kind of feelings. When they were younger, he was always like looking out for her, protecting her, like, you know, he would so he was like, I guess it kind of transitioned into more than that. So I think he like intrinsically knew how he felt about her, but I think he just wasn't ready to have that kind of, you know, romance, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's still processing, I think, a lot of things. So I think the thing about it is probably he bought it before he found out about his mom or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
How old are they both, Jeremiah and Conrad, supposed to be, and how far an age difference are they supposed to have?
So Conrad's going to, he's about to start his senior year, is that right?
Yeah.
I guess Jeremiah's going to start his junior year after this summer.
Yeah.
And then so, Belle, she'll be starting her sophomore year.
I guess.
2 years, apart. So 2 years, Conrad would be 2 years, and then her and Jeremiah, I guess, like 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know. Like- But you know,
they're close together.
yeah. Who steps up and who saves the day because they're the best? Jeremiah, because he's like he could see she's sad, and he's like, oh, why don't we go, like, you know, do some driving? And I was like, this is where my heart starts, you know.
Yeah.
Feeling for him, because I was like, that was sweet. He sees she's sad. He knows, like, she's excited about, like, learning, you know, getting her license and, like, practicing driving. And that's why he got her that charm or whatever for good luck for her test. And I just thought that was mm-hmm. sweet that he did that.
Yeah. So. Did you all have, like, a sweet 16 party? We didn't.
No.
No.
I did. Yeah. I did.
You did? Was it fun?
Yeah, I mean, it was at my house, and then I wore something pink, and my cake was like a Barbie cake. I don't know, my parents got it for me, and then I got like a key, like, was it then? Oh no, that's 2021, sorry. Yeah, so I had a sweet 16, but we were such nerds. I was such a nerd. That's why I can never relate to all these teens, right? Because I was studying so much of the time when I was a teenager. So what did my friends came over and we just played like some games, and they got me like gifts, and then I opened the gifts.
I'm sure we did something like that, just like a normal party, but not like some big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was more of like the drama geek. I mean, that's why I think I love Perks of Being a Wallflower so much, is it's basically all about drama geeks, and I love that movie and book, and that was more my jam, was doing the plays, and I was in choir and everything like that, and so were all my friends, and so we weren't like popular, but we had friends. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. You had your own group. Yeah.
An important distinction.
Yeah. Very important. We're talking about high school cliques and all that kind of stuff. Yes.
Yeah. I do remember getting my driver's license. I didn't get it until I was 17. I waited because my parents made me have to pay for my own insurance, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I waited, but then my parents moved when I was 17. My parents moved to California. We were in Maryland at the time, so I basically graduated from high school a year early, and mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to, like, the rules were different in California versus Maryland, and so I wanted mm-hmm. to make sure to get my license in Maryland before we moved, and I failed the first time I tried to do the test, and so then the second time you had to do parallel parking in Maryland, which is evil.
It's hard. I still can't do it. It's really hard. Now I live in California, where you need to know how to parallel park.
Yeah. and so I do remember borrowing a friend's car, because I, the first time I take it, I had done it in my parents' minivan, which was bad.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bubble. Yeah.
Anyway, and I just remember passing the test and just freaking out, because we were literally moving, I think, in 2 or 3 days. So I had to get it done that day. And that's so exciting. So
who
I remember
you guys.
What's that?
Like, who taught you? Who taught you to drive? Like...
Well, I did go a few times with my parents driving, but that was not effective, especially my mom, who would be braking on her side.
That's my mom. Oh my gosh. My mom is the same way. Over dramatic, just like yelling. Oh my gosh, don't get too close. Oh my, like going to make me have an accident.
But and then you were required to do driver's ed in Maryland. And so I signed up for driver's ed. I was there with a bunch of my friends. We all took it together, and the driving portion of it, I decided to do one session of stick shift, and I don't know why I did.
Oh my gosh, I would die.
And I kept stalling, and it was just terrible. And I told you about that early morning seminary class that I would take. Yeah. And we were going like really slow, and it was just bad. And I look behind me, and my teacher, my church teacher, was there behind me, like,
oh my gosh, yeah. That's funny.
I'm like, sorry. But yeah, so learning to drive, that was all very memorable. I'm not the best driver in the world. I have a lazy eye. And so certain things like parallel parking are really hard for me. But yeah, it was an experience, and I was so happy that I got my license.
I know. And me too. Cause I'm not the best driver in the world.
It's hard. No, it's a lot of things to pay attention to all at the same time.
It is. Yeah. Especially like, yeah, when you're a kid and like, you know, now there's phones, and you know, kid, you are always distracted by things like fantasizing about boys or whatever. It's right. In your mind trying to drive and like pay attention to all this stuff. It's like, I got enough in my head.
Yeah.
You know, it's really gosh. Hard. So
yeah, I'm so glad I didn't have a cell phone back then.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
I didn't get my first cell phone until I was when I became a teaching assistant in college. I decided, okay, I'm going to finally get a cell phone. But that was like 2001.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's different time now. Way more distracting, social media, like all, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the family plans really broke a lot of people's resolve on that, you know, cause it's like they could have everybody in the family get a phone. So it's a lot harder to deny it when it's, and it is convenient, but I feel like that changed a lot of people that were like, no way, we'll never get you a cell phone. Okay. You can be part of the family.
That's true. Money will always change people's minds. Okay. So I wanted to ask you guys, so if there was like your one of your friends or something, if you had like this huge crush on their brother, Would you tell your friend, like, you know,
no
Taylor?
Way.
No.
Okay, so you guys would be the same as Taylor. You'd be like, yeah, I'm not telling you that I'm like in love with Steven. You know, I'm just, that's true. I wouldn't either. I'd be too embarrassed to tell my friend.
Yeah.
I had this like massive crush for like years that like I just never, you know, it would be,
yeah,
it'd be weird.
Well, and when I do get a crush on somebody, I turn into this like mousy person. I get all shy and I'm like, why do I do that? I mean, luckily I haven't had a crush for a long time, but if I did, especially,
I know, it just changes your whole personality. It's a really weird thing. Like, I haven't felt it in a long time, but it's really weird. I remember it just like takes on this own persona. It's like,
Really, they captured that pretty well here, I think. And I think that Lola Tung does a great job as Belly.
Yeah, and she really does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she hasn't done that many other roles, and she does a very good job, I think, capturing the awkwardness and the mixture of kind of confidence in some things, but then also shyness and other things. I don't know, she's good.
Yeah, I mean, this is like literally the first thing on her IMDb. I'm like, that's insane. Like,
yeah.
Like, how did, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm sure they, you know, probably worked with her and stuff, but she just, yeah, she's like really good. Like, it's just her emotions and stuff came across like so believable. So like how a teen would react in, you know, these certain certain moments and like facial things and stuff like that. So I think she does a really good job. But in this next episode, go ahead.
I actually liked how they updated Tila, because I think in the books she was quite bitchy. Like they're best friends, right? But it's like, it's sometimes you kind of wonder why they're friends. Like, you think that they're friends just because they've been friends for ages. But like when Taylor actually gets there, she like flirts so much with like Jeremiah, and you know, and then Belly's just getting all insecure about, you know, because like she thinks Taylor's prettier, you know, more beautiful than her, right? And she's like here to steal the limelight, you know, from Belly, right? So she, yeah, she, it's not like pleasant, you know, to read her going through all that. Whereas I think the Taylor here is a lot more, I think, supportive.
Yeah, you know, she's definitely toned down from that. Yeah, but she's definitely not like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not like a friend that, you know, is like, yeah, like secretly not, doesn't sound like your friend, right? Yeah. So, you know, and Taylor would, I mean, of course, it's, I guess it's teen insecurity, right? So Taylor would frequently like kind of, you know, emphasize that she's hotter, right? She looks better than Belly. Yeah. So in the books, I mean, later on she gets better, but in the first book it was, yeah, it wasn't great. So I really liked like how they updated her character and like they kind of removed all that Jeremiah stuff that was going on. So I think that was good. Yeah. So I think the show really like cleaned up a lot of like the mess. Yeah. So in the books they are like really like flawed and messy and like, you know, yeah. So
well, I think one of the things that's hard in your teenage years is that your friendships are so important in that time. They're basically more important than family to at least to a lot of people at that time. But also you're changing so much and your friends are changing so much and they're experimenting with things, they're doing things. And so, yeah, I think that that can be really challenging for teenagers.
Yeah. Teenage friendships, lots of ups and downs, lots of, I mean, it's a great experience, but yeah, I mean, all the emotions are just so intense, when you're that age, but yeah, friendships are, yeah, really, really important.
Once you're older, I feel like your personality is kind of more consistent, and basically anybody that I would have been friends with in it, you know, 20, I'm could be friends with at 40. Like my personality, I've grown in a little bit, but like my personality is basically the same.
Yeah.
Whereas I wouldn't say that between like 15 and 20. Like there's a lot of change going on there.
Yeah, definitely. We decided to split this episode into two parts because we went really long talking about The Summer I Turned Pretty. So we hope you enjoy part two. Natasha, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at litmysoul. They can read my stuff on culturedvouchers.com. We do film, books, TV, wrestling, and games. So yeah, check us out. Yeah.
All right. And what about you, Rachel?
And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out.
Okay, and make sure you're following Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. And we also have our Patreon, which you can join for as low as $2 a month. We have monthly watch-alongs, our Facebook group, things like that. It's really fun, so you can check it out. And we also have our merch store where you can buy merchandise for all kinds of Hallmark things and non-Hallmark things with characters and anything you like there. So, yeah.
Thanks so much. This was so fun. Happy summer, everybody.
Yes, have a good summer with not this much drama.